you doing this morning? Come on, we're in the house of God. I think we should get excited when we're in the house of God. I want to tell you, it is such a privilege to be here in New Zealand, the land of the long white cloud. It's so good to be back here. I lived here for 9 years, got saved in New Zealand. Obviously, I mean, who wouldn't? I tell you, my life got changed around when I stepped into New Zealand. I was planning to be here for a year, just travel around, you know, it'd be really cool. 6 months after I got here, I walked into a church. Went back the following week, Fourth week I was there. The pastor gave the opportunity, if you want to come down the front, ask Jesus into your life, come down the front. I don't know what went through my, but I found myself down at the front. Found myself asking Jesus into my life, and can I tell you, have not looked back since. And so this morning, I want to encourage you. I've got a message that God has put on my heart for this morning. And what I understand about God is He does not just turn up, or He does not just expect another meeting when He comes to a meeting. God is never into just another meeting. He's never into doing a meeting for the sake of doing a meeting. God has a purpose for this meeting. Now, I understand last night was phenomenal. This morning was phenomenal. God wanted to do something in last night's meeting that was different to this morning's meeting, which I tell you is different to this meeting. And I want to encourage you, let's press in together. Are you up for that? Let's press in together. You'll find about me, I love, let's press in together. I understand that the best preaching I can bring out is when we preach together. When you're an amen every now and again, or a whoop, yeah, awesome. Or whatever it may take. But let's press in. And, you know, I want to tell you that Planet Shaker City Church says a big hi. I've been the privilege of being in that church for 3 years now, and God is doing crazy things there. You know, it's just the hand of God is on it. It is growing. We're seeing people get saved, healed. Just the other day we heard of a lady who had gone into a hospital to visit her father who was sick. I think he'd been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer or something, absolutely sick. She just started speaking out the word of God over his life, just saying, I believe my God can heal this. I believe my God has the power to change. I believe my God can have the final say over your life. A week later, he was discharged, fully fine. So you got to understand, this morning, I'm not trying to hype up anything. This morning, I'm standing knowing that my God wants to do something here this morning, expectant of what he might do this morning. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to get straight into it. Did you have a good morning tea, by the way? Fantastic. Okay, why don't you turn your Bibles to Psalm 139. A great psalm, a psalm I'm sure you have read many a time. You know, as I was praying this morning in my room, I was just asking God, you know, to give me the key for this morning, the key for breakthrough. Who knows there's a key to every meeting? And I was just praying. I said, God, what's the key? What's the key? And I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning that in this meeting, He wants to bring breakthrough in the areas of fears, breakthrough in the area of some of our insecurities, breakthrough in some of those situations we've been asking Him for a while, seeking Him for a while. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to come and bring breakthrough into this meeting. So I'm pushing for that. I'm expectant for that. I know God's spoken to me about that. So I want to encourage you, click in, get ready. Psalm 139, are we all there? Are we all there? Oh, you're very quiet. Okay, Psalm 139, verse 13. It says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. It says in verse 13, for you created my inmost being. Who understands that anything that is created for a reason, is created for a purpose? Everything that is created to make a difference. Nothing is created for nothing, right? Everything's created for something. We could look at anything that man has created that we can see right now and simply argue the point that it was created to make a difference. I mean, why don't we take, for example, a potato peeler. Incredible creation of man. A potato peeler. Now, it would not take us long, I'm sure, to come to a consensus of opinion this morning that a potato peeler was not created for no reason, right? It wasn't like it just got created and then they realized, my goodness, would you, Adam and Eve, it can also peel a potato. Why don't we call it a potato peeler? No, we say you're on drugs if you think that, right? We understand a potato peeler was created for a purpose. It was created to make a difference. Foot spas. Praise the Lord for foot spas. We understand foot spas were created to make a difference, right? We wouldn't, if we started to argue the point that a foot spa was created for nothing, and then suddenly they realize, wow, it's actually, you could put 2 feet in there and, like, you know, bubble the water. Wow, that could relax your feet. Why don't we call it a foot spa? No, we understand it was created to make, see, everything in this world, everything that is created to make a difference. Can I tell you, my Bible tells me in Psalm 139 that you and I are no exception. It says, for he created my inmost being. He created me. We are created to make a difference. In fact, this morning I want to talk to you that you are born to make a difference. I love the fact of what William Shakespeare, numerous years ago, says these fantastic words. Greatness is in every one of us. I love the poet who wrote these words a number of years ago. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine, as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fears, our presence automatically liberates others. We're all meant to shine, not just in some of us, in every one of us. We're all born to make a difference. You see, what I understand is that there's a question that's gone with that, that has been asked in generations before us, has been asked, I'm sure, in this generation and will be asked in generations to come. The question is, yeah, but how can I make a difference? I mean, you can look through the Bible and see Moses ask that question. You can see Gideon ask that question. You can see Esther ask that question. I know I've asked that question. I'm sure you've asked that question. Have you maybe thought that question, maybe felt that question? How could I make a difference? You see, this morning, I want to speak to you just for a few moments in the short time that we have and try and answer that question. See, what I understand is all the great men and women of God who have gone before us have come to a place of understanding where they found an answer to that question, and in return, the result, they've stood up and made an incredible difference in this place. Do you know, they were great men and women of God, but they're no different to you and I sitting in this room. The Billy Grahams could be sitting here. Mother Teresa's could be sitting here. Bob Lawson's could be sitting here. Sitting here right in our midst. Right in our midst. How can I do something great for God? Well, here we go. The first place of understanding I believe they got to, the first place of understanding we've got to get to, is to understand now is the time for you. Now. Esther 4:14. Mordecai says to her, and who knows that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. What was the place of understanding Esther had to get to? Now is the time for her. I don't know about you, but I know that I have heard destiny, our destiny spoken of as a point out there in the future that we're going to arrive at one day. Is that how you understand it? It's like, oh, I can't wait to reach my destiny. Hold on a second. Surely our destiny is to live in relationship with God every day of our lives, right? So that would suggest if I'm living in relationship with God right now, on fire for my God right now, that I'm living in my destiny right now, which means every day I face, I'm destiny taking hold of it. Everything I go through, taking hold of my destiny. In fact, Ecclesiastes 3 would back me up on this. It tells us that there is a time for everything. Time for everything. There's a time for sowing, there's a time for reaping, there's a time for being awake, there's a time for being asleep, there's a time for foot spas, hallelujah. There's a time for absolutely everything, which if that is the case would suggest now is the time for something of God in my life. Miles Monroe, who's an incredible author, I think he's from the Bahamas originally, says these great words in one of his books: you were born to solve a problem. You are the answer to a question God knew would be raised in this generation. You are an assignment your generation needs to experience. You are necessary right now. You're necessary right now. Can I tell you, I've been getting a hold. God's been literally speaking into my spirit this understanding. Now's the time for you. Do you know what I found myself doing? And you might go, oh, Nat, lame, but shh. Okay, this is what God's doing in me. I found myself at different opportunities, different things that have come along my path, just going, I was born for this. I was born for this. Perhaps it's a tough time that's come. I'm born to have victory over this. Maybe it's a hard day that's come. I'm born for this. Why? Because I understand my destiny's right now. My time is right now. Every decision I make right now, it's important. You know, the second thing I've got down here, second place of understanding, these men and women have got to second place of understanding, I feel God wants us to get to, is to understand there's more. There's more. In fact, why don't you flick in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. We'll take a quick look at a couple of verses there. I was sharing with Pastor Margaret as we were driving down last night from the airport, the second to last time that I saw Pastor Don. And I was just telling him this morning. He invited me to speak at his church, and we're sitting there a few minutes before I'm about to get up to preach, and somebody's doing the notices. One of the leaders from his church is doing the notices. And if you don't know Pastor Don, I can tell you he's into practical jokes. So I'm sitting there, and he just nudges me. He says, Nat, Nat. And I'm trying to be holy and concentrate. I'm like, what? He goes, Nat. And he gets out a computer mouse. You know the mouses, you click, click, click. And he goes, Nat, this is a laser. This is like a red laser. What you can do, right, while the guy's doing the note, I can't remember what the guy's name was, John. Okay, while John's doing the note, he says, why don't you do the laser right on the piece of paper where he's doing the note? That'd be funny, wouldn't it? I was like, Don, I can't do that. He goes, yeah, you can. It's my church. I went, okay. He goes, all you got to do is just click the left one. Make sure you just click the left part of the mouse. Don't click both sides, just the left part. I'm like, all right, you sure, Don? He goes, yeah, it's fine. So I go, I'm thinking about it. I go, oh, I just got to do it. I got to step out. I was born for this. No. And so I get the mouse and I point it at the piece of paper and I click just the left side because that's what Don said was important. I click the left side. Little do I know is when you only click the left side, it actually gives you an electric shock. So in the middle of the notices, and I think the notices are something about men's camp coming up, you've got Nat Joyce going, ah! Right in the middle of it. And then I had to get up and preach. I was just like... So I want to tell you, if Pastor Don comes up to you this morning and says, look at this mouse, click it, Natalie, she's going to... Don't. All right, don't. You were not born for that. That I can tell you. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 says, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, oh, Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Can understand there's more than what we see. See, there's so many people who have gone before us and who are living in this day right now, who have believed the lie that all there is to our lives is to be born, grow up, live, work, die. Oh, yay. How exciting. If that's the case, then why does my spirit scream there is so much more? Why is it when I see and hear of stories of people who are stepping out or have stood up and their impact in the world, why is it that it grabs my attention? Isn't it because there's something in our spirits that resonate to do the same thing? Resonate to impact the same in the same way? Has anyone seen the film Braveheart? I mean, I think now everyone should have seen the film Braveheart. We had 12,000 messages on the film Braveheart. I love the scene in Braveheart where William Wallace, who's played by Mel Gibson, when he's standing with his countrymen, standing opposite the battle lines with the English, with the British Army, and they're outnumbered. Like, they know that they're just going to, there's just no chance. And William Wallace says, I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight? You remember that scene? You remember the soldier goes, against that? No, I run and I'll live. And William, what are you laughing at? And William Wallace says, I fight and you may die. I'm not very good at Scottish. Run and you'll live at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all of that from this day to that for one chance, just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they never take our freedom? I remember watching that scene. And something in me just wants to put a kilt on, go, yeah, at the same time, every time I see that movie. Why? Because there's something in me that just resonates. I want to make a difference. See, we were born to add something to this world. We were born to stamp God's handprint on this earth with our lives. It's not just in some of us, it's in every one of us. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are the workmanship of God. I'm sure you've heard before another word for workmanship is masterpiece. We're the master. We are unique. We are the one-offs, which tells me that we were created not just to fill a gap. You've been created not just to fill a gap, but to serve your gifts to the world in a way that they have never seen before. I tell the people I have the privilege of leading, I tell them every time I see them, the world would miss out if you weren't here. But then I grab them because they usually go, yeah, now. I go, no. The greater tragedy would be if you were here and you still didn't step out and what you had to offer the world. The world would miss out if we weren't here, but the greater tragedy would be if we were and yet we still didn't offer what we had inside of us. See, you and I each have a role to play in humanity. Let's not take that truth to the grave. I don't want to stand before God and when he says, well, you know, you could have done this and what about this and what about that? I don't want to have excuse after excuse. Hold on, God, I've taken notes on that. Okay, excuse number one. The reason I didn't do those calls. No, I don't want to have those excuses. I want to say, yeah, I put my kilt on. I stood up. I was freedom. I was the whole way, God. Understand there's more. Third thing, understand God created you different. Now, before some of us, you know, start going, yeah, I know I'm different. No, not different to certain other people. We've been created different to every other person, which means if you're not you, no one else is going to be. If I'm not me, no one else is going to be. Right? Ephesians 2:10 tells us we're a masterpiece. We're a one-off. No one can be me like I can be me. You could try, but just wouldn't cut it. And no one can be you like you can be you. I could try, just wouldn't cut it. I could have got up today and decided, you know what? I don't think I'm going to preach like Nat Joyce. I don't think I'll cut it. Maybe I'll preach like one of those black gospel preachers because they love that. They always do. Oh. And if I'd got up and started going, faith, faith, hallelujah, faith, I said faith. Do I see an amen to that? Now, for a moment, we would have got into it, but I'm sure it wouldn't take us long before we just went, oh, how lame is she? Why doesn't she just be herself? Or maybe I could have decided, no, not the black gospel preacher, no, prophetic preacher. They love that. And I got up and I said, it's great to be in the church here. I feel that there's a woman here today. There's a woman here today. If that's you, why don't you come to the front? And you would have just said and got, is she for real? And after a little bit, just gone, nah, why don't you just be yourself? See, in 1 Samuel 17, David goes to fight Goliath. Saul pulls him aside and says, look, why don't you wear my armor? Why don't you put on my clothing? Why don't you go as me as such? David clambers all this stuff on, tries to, he can't even walk, and he says, do you know what? No. I can't go in this. I cannot go. I can only go as myself. I don't want this stuff. I'm going to take my pouch. I'm going to take my five stones. I'm going to take my sling, and I'm going to go out there and give it my best shot. He went as himself. See, God does not need one more of what he already has. Gifts inside of us, God has put there because he wants you to add them to the world. No one else can do it for you. Equally, you can't do it if you're trying to be someone else, trying to wear their personality. You ever try to wear someone's personality? Remember when you're at school and like Joe, she's so cool. So you try and be like Joe the whole way and everyone's just like, oh, Nat. We can't do it. We've got to be us. Just got to be us. Bayless Connolly says, you were a born and original. Don't you die a copy. I love that. Do you love that? You're born an original. I'll give you a smack if you die a copy. See, I had the thought that the pressure in the world is to imitate. Such a pressure in the world to be like something we're not. You know, the devil does the same. The Bible tells us he masquerades as an angel, like tries to be something he's not. As soon as he tried to be someone else, as soon as he tried to act like he was God, is the same point he lost all power. You know, the same is with us. As soon as we try and be something that's not, as soon as we try and fake it around our way, it's when we lose the power from heaven to fulfill what he's put us on this earth to do. Why? Because we just got to be ourselves. Just got to be ourselves. Understand God created us different. The fourth thing I've put down here, in understanding, being able to answer that question, how can I make a difference? Number four, understand you're called to stand up. Called to stand up. Called to stand up. There are so many verses in the Bible that talk about standing. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore stand firm. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on your guard, stand firm. Ephesians 6:13, after you've done everything, stand. Something powerful about when we stand. You know, there's the saying, stand for nothing, you fall for anything. Pretty true. Easiest person to defeat is the one who's already lying down, who's already quit, who's already saying, I'm not going to try. I want to ask the question, what are you standing for? What is it that is written in your DNA that no matter where you find yourself, you cannot help but just stand up? Is it when you see injustice? In other words, what is it that makes you angry? Because I want to tell you, you're born to fix it. When I see injustice, something in me makes me want to stand up. When I see people, and this is my passion, when I see people being ripped off by the lies of the enemy, being told that they cannot achieve what God has said they can achieve, oh, aloha, I cannot stand or sit down. I have to stand up and go, no way. In fact, my young people understand that if they're sitting down with me and I see the enemy ripping them off, I will be getting in there and going, no way. I'm standing in the gap for you. I'm standing in the gap for you. I wonder, what is it that God has created you to stand for? Is it injustice? Is it, what is it? What is it for you? I think about all the leaders who I admire and I look up to, and I understand that they've all stood for something. That's the reason I admire them, partly. Not just because they've talked it up, because they've walked it up. Not because they just say, oh, yeah, no, because they've stood up and stood for that thing. I wonder, what are you passionate about? What has God put in you that he wants you to stand up and make a noise about? You know, there's one place that I saw so many of the great men and women of God who have gone before us getting to in standing up and making the difference that they were born to do. And that understand that place they got to is a tough one to get to at times. It's understanding that we're born to confront our fears and insecurities. 2 Corinthians 10, if we just flick over to there, 2 Corinthians 10 is an incredible couple of verses in there. Are you doing all right out there, by the way? Good. Good, good, good. I'm cooking lunch soon, so don't worry. You have some fish and chips to go. They do fish and chips in Australia, but can I tell you, it's just nothing like fish and chips over here. It's just like, oh, please, try hard, be yourself. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. Do you know the other thing? I've just got to sidetrack. The other thing about Australia or about Melbourne is they're into Australian football. Have you ever watched Australian football? You need revelation to even understand the game. It's just the weirdest game. But the thing is you don't ever hear about rugby union. And I love rugby union. I mean, Crusaders the whole way. I know you don't go for them, but, you know, I'll pray for you. But I just, Australian football is the weirdest game. If you ever get to watch it, you should watch it because it will just make you appreciate how much you were born to be in New Zealand. But 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. See, the difference I've found between mature Christians and immature Christians, those who have stepped out and stood up for God, and those who are still sort of getting to that place, is the difference is those who are prepared to confront their fears and their insecurities, and those who just go, too hard, leave it alone. Those who have got to a place where their fears and insecurities bow their knee to the Word of God, and those who are still being controlled by those fears and insecurities. See, courage is not the absence of fear, right? Courage isn't doing something when there's nothing scary about doing that thing. Courage is doing it despite every fear and insecurity screaming in your face. Confronting our fears and insecurities. Confronting those things. You know what I find the enemy would love for us to do is to have those fears and insecurities be secrets. I don't want anyone else to know my insecurity. I really don't want you to know what I'm scared about. You know, I should keep that to myself because that would make me appear like I just haven't got it all together. Because isn't a real Christian supposed to have it all together? Who knows now that a real Christian just doesn't have to have it all together? They just have to have it all in God, right? So we can have fears and insecurities, but those things have to bow their knees to the Word of God. Those things, we can take them captives and say, you will not control me. You will not have the final say over my life. When I look at Moses and I look at Esther and I look at all the great men and women of God, oh, they may have started in a place where they said, no, I can't do it. No, it's just too, I can't even speak. It's just too hard. But they came to a place where they said, you will shut up. I'm stepping in. No, you will not. No, I'm going for it anyway. They confronted their fears and insecurities. I mean, come on, we understand when you confront your fears and insecurities, it's not an easy thing, right? They don't tend to give up that easily on your life. But can I tell you, when you confront those things and make that declaration, whether you feel like it or not, you will not have victory over my life. Can I tell you, that's where the breakthrough comes. That's the times when the breakthrough comes. And as I mentioned, as I was praying this morning, I believe that this is an area God wants to hit this morning. That is, in a moment, we're going to be just pressing into God just for a few moments. I believe for some of us sitting here, there have been things that have kept us held back, that have kept us down. Perhaps it's a fear of failure. Do you know, what if I stepped out and it just didn't work? What if I stepped out and it just didn't happen? What if I stepped out and I just failed? My question to you is, well, what if you did? If you've got it all in God, would it matter? If you've got it all in God, wouldn't He show you the steps to take to get through that thing? If you've got it all in God, does anything else matter? Confront those things. I know for me, if you'd met me when I first got saved, you would not have recognized me. I was the most insecure person in the whole entire stratosphere. If there was an inferior position to assume, pick me, I'll take it, pick me. I would just be continually, the lies were the truth to me. And I remember coming to a point where I was hearing people say, you can make a difference. You're bought, you know, all this type of thing. And I remember just thinking, no, not me. Yes, everyone else, but just not me. It's just too hard. Like, look at me, I mean, I'm nothing. I can't do anything. And I'd moan to God. You ever given the moan to God? I think He gets bored by the moan. He's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. I remember coming to a place of understanding of realizing, do you know what? I may not feel like the verse that says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I may not feel like that truth is truth in my life. But just because I don't feel like it's truth in my life, that doesn't mean it's not truth. So either I can decide that all of this needs to orchestrate itself around my feelings, or I can decide this is truth no matter what, and if I stand on it, then maybe I might see some victory in my life. And so I started to take my fears and insecurities to God, to the Word of God, and made them bow their knee. I made them, but like, so for me, I started getting opportunities to preach, and I would turn them down because I thought I wasn't able to do it. I thought, oh no, I would suck at that. Now I get someone, oh sorry, I prayed about it, and the Lord said no. You know, you'd give the Christian reason. I know you've never done that, but it was just me. And I would just say no to it. Why? Because I just felt insecure. So it came to this place where I said, no, I'm going to confront this stuff. I made the decision at the beginning of the year, no matter what opportunity comes my way, no matter if everything in me is screaming, I can't do it, I was going to say, yeah, love to. Can't wait for the opportunity. And I remember, who knows, when you make that kind of declaration before God, he goes, okay, let's test it out. So I remember that year just, oh my goodness, like opportunities coming. I remember one in particular. I wasn't on staff at that point at our church, and I remember the youth pastor at the time ringing me up saying, Natalie, we've got a age group camp this weekend, youth camp. And I was fitness instructing and aerobics instructing at that time. And they rang me up and says, so we need somebody to worship lead on the Saturday morning, and you kind of do aerobics. It's kind of the same thing. Would you mind? And I'm like, what? What? Everything in me, everything in me wanted to say, oh, Saturday? Oh, busy, sorry. But I'd made that decision. I went, you know, yeah, love to, can't wait for the opportunity. I remember getting to that Saturday morning. Have you ever been really nervous about something? You're like, I can do this. I remember getting up and, come on, shout to the Lord and do a great fire. You know, I just gave it my best shot. But can I tell you, when I got down after that moment, man, was I pumped. Why? Because I'd confronted a fear in my life, an insecurity, and said, you're not going to conquer me. You will not have the final say. Now, I'm not saying for you it means you've got to get up and do aerobics here on a Saturday morning. I'm not saying that. But can I tell you and encourage you that we do have to get to a place where we say you're not going to have the final say. Insecurity, you might be there, but you're going to bow your knee to the Word of God right now. Is that cool? Can we amen that part? The final point I've got down here. And this is, to me, the greatest of all keys. Greatest all keys to understanding how can I make a difference is understanding the importance of the secret place. Your secret place with God. Psalm 84 verse 10 says, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Better is one day with God than a thousand elsewhere. Time spent with God, understanding that it's the time spent in the secret place that enables us to stand strong and bold in the public place. Say that again. Understanding that it's the time spent in the secret place that enables us to stand strong and bold in the public place. You think about Jesus. I hope you do think about Jesus, but let's think about Jesus right now. If you think about Jesus, how many times do you read in the Bible that he went off to a solitary place? What did he do? Pray. He went off away from the crowds, prayed. He went off to alone, prayed. Went up to the mountain, prayed. He went over here, prayed. He went over here, prayed. Do you remember reading that part every now and again in the Bible? What it tells us is Jesus spent hours in prayer, hours in his secret place to have the 2-second miracles in the public place. So he spent hours praying and then would go up to the blind person, see, dead person, up you get, make me some food. Yeah. He'd go to the sick person, healed, over here, done, miracle, yep, miracle, yep, miracle. Now, who could be fairly honest and go, do you know, sometimes I want to have the equation the other way. I want to be able to spend the 2 seconds in prayer, see the hours of miracles in my life, hours of ministry in my life. We want the drive-through relationship with God, right? You know, yeah. Pray, love you, Jesus, have my weird bits. Okay, see you later, bye. And then get to the meetings and go, oh, thank you, Jesus, healed. When it doesn't work like that, it's the time spent in the secret place that enables us to stand strong in the public place. See, the secret place of God is the presence of God. The presence of God is the place of breakthrough. How do I make a difference? Well, presence of God, and he'll show you. God, but what's the keys to me standing up? Well, presence of God, and he'll show you. God, but what am I called to do? Well, get in the presence of God, and he'll show you. Presence of God is the place of revelation. Jesus said, I only do that which my Father tells me to do. The presence of God is the place of surrender. You ever been in that place where you just go, God, I just lay it all down? Presence of God is that place of salvation. The more you spend in the presence of God, the more it consumes you. Absolutely consumes you. See, in the Bible, we hear often it's spoken about the presence of God or spending time in the presence of God or that secret place as the mountain experience, you know, the mountain analogy. Go to the mountain. Let's go to the mountain. Go to the presence of God. Now, just a couple of weeks ago, Easter weekend, in fact, I did a bit of mountain walking myself. Yeah, I'm pretty tough like that. So we went to Tasmania. A friend of mine and myself, we went and visited Tasmania. Has anyone ever been to Tassie? Oh, cool. Okay. Gorgeous place. Before I hadn't been there at all, and everyone in Australia kept telling me, oh, it's just like New Zealand, and it's just like England. And I'm like, yeah, I'll be the judge of that. Thank you. And so I decided, okay, I've got to go and see this place. So we went on Easter weekend. We flew into Hobart on the Thursday night, and we got the overnight ferry out from Devonport on the Monday night. We walked and conquered mountains like there was no tomorrow. I mean, the place is absolutely beautiful. We went to Cradle Mountain, walked some mountains there. We went to Wineglass Bay and walked up to some mountains there. And the girl that I went with, my friend, because I have a friend, thank you, Jesus. You can have a friend too. No, and my friend had forgotten her walking shoes. All she had was ballet flats. So we're walking on some of these mountains, and this is no exaggeration. They are like this. They're cliff faces. We're scrambling over. She's pirouetting over these things. But it took us 4 hours to do one of these mountain walks. By the way, that's a long time. So we're walking up this. There's parts where you have to like scramble over the rock face, which is just like that. And there's no safety barriers. There's no nothing. We didn't have belay hook. We didn't know. Like, we're tough. So we were just walking up this thing 4 hours. And we keep looking down. Wow, nearly there. Keep walking up. Keep passing people. We're nearly there. Oh, you got a way to go. Don't tell me that. We get to the top of this mountain and, whoa, the view's unbelievable. Where we can see, unbelievable. Things that looked big, now just specks. We could see so much further. We could see so many. Oh, remember when we said, oh, so that's how we get back down. Oh, now we can do it. When we go back down, that'll be easy because we know where, yeah, okay, cool. We could see the track where we needed to go when it got to that valley part. This won't take us 4 hours. It'll take us at least 3 hours, 55. We got it beat. See, the Bible talks about the presence of God as going to the mountain. The thing about when you go to the mountain is you see what surrounded you from before from a different perspective. You're above it now. When you go to the mountain, you go up, you see something that was big, it's now small. It pales in comparison. When you go up the mountain, you can see more. When you go up the mountain, you have to leave behind some extra baggage that would hinder you on your journey. You got to be lighter. You got to be freer. It's the mountaintop experiences that empower you to walk through the valley and not quit. Because you can see, I can do this. I can do this. It's those who have been to the mountain who can best help those who have lost their way in the valley. You know, when you come down, just go that way. You're fine. Because you've been to the mountain. Here's the greatest truth. Everyone in the Bible who went up the mountain came back different. And as a result, made a difference. See, when we go to the mountain, the presence of God, you can't help but come back changed. You can't help it. I'm ruined for anything else now because I've spent time in the presence of God. It's the mountain experience, the secret place. And this morning, just for a few moments, I wonder if we could go to that secret place. Or maybe if we could have the keyboardist up or someone who can do some nice music in the background. That would be delightful. But I want to take just a moment as we close for us to go to our secret place with God. See, what I understand is in our lives, we don't need, I've come to a place of understanding, I don't really need another message. Would anyone agree? I mean, if you've been a Christian for a while, you've got one zillion messages. I don't need another. What I need is revelation of how that message relates to me. God, what are you wanting to say through that word into my life? What he wants to speak to one person may be different to what he wants to speak to another. It's the revelation that we get in the secret place that enables us to stand up in the public place. Oh, I remember thinking, oh, yeah, okay, fearfully, wonderfully made. But it was once I had the revelation of that, that I stood up. Hey, yes, I can do it. And so just as every eye is closed, I want to encourage you. You don't need to wait for someone to encourage you to go into, just go into your secret place with God. If that for you is starting to speak in tongues or starting to speak his name, whatever it is, I want you to find your place with God, that secret place. Jesus. Psalm 139 says, you created my inmost being. See, if we want to answer the question, God, how can I, what can I do for you, God? How can I make a difference for you, God? We've got to go back to the one who made us, who created us, to God himself. See, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is not our it is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so other people won't feel insecure around you. We're all meant to shine as children do. It's not in some of us, it's in everyone. As we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fears, our presence automatically liberates others. This morning we stand in a place in the presence of God where he wants to liberate us from fears. Where he wants to speak to us in that still small voice. Those keys and those words into our lives specific to just you. The masterpiece that he has created. That key that would cause you to say, do you know what? I'm standing up. See, I understand that we can know there's more. We can know we're created different. We can know we're supposed to stand up. We can know now is our time. But it's not until God comes and meets us in the secret place and brings that revelation that we will actually stand up and do those things. So, Father, right now I pray over every person here that you bring revelation through this word into their lives. Father, over the lives that you show me even this morning as I prayed, God, that we're to be liberated from those fears, liberated from those things, those insecurities that have held them so tight. Right now, I prophesy that over the atmosphere. Freedom in the name of Jesus. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. And I wonder if, as every eye is closed, if some of you say, do you know what it is for me, is the fears and the insecurities that have held me back. Those things cripple me. Then I want to encourage you. Begin to lift your hands to God and receive the freedom from heaven. You may feel like you need to stand. You may feel like you need to kneel. Whatever it is that you need to do to connect with the King, do it, because I want to tell you the King of Kings is here and he does want to bring that breakthrough. Father, we speak over these lives. Yes, thank you, Lord. 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 There is freedom in your name. Thank you, Jesus. Over each hand that is raised, over each person that is responding right now, God, pour out. Pour out, I pray. Father, I speak over those fears. You shall not conquer. You shall not have the last say. Over those insecurities, you shall not win out. Father, we say we stand for you. We stand for your purposes, God. Father, I pray and ask, speak into every life the divine revelation of heaven that would cause them, despite those very things, in courage and strength to step up and step out. God, pour out right now. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Your presence is here. God, your presence liberates. Your presence brings healing and wholeness, Lord God. It's here right now, Father. It is here right now. I encourage you, press into him. Press into him. However you best do that, press into him. God, pour out. We do not want to sit in another meeting for the sake of sitting in another meeting. God, we want to hear from you. We want to hear your word that is divine for us right now. God, pour out those who are needing healing right now. Father, pour out your healing. Pour out your healing. I speak to those that sickness. You shall not stop this person from fulfilling what they have been created to do. You shall not. You shall not. You have to bow your knee. You have to bow your knee. Father, I speak against sicknesses and infirmities that have robbed and ripped off and sidetracked and tried to keep held back the men and women of God in this room. Father, right now I take authority over those things and I speak the healing of heaven to be poured out. Poured out. Backs healed in Jesus' name. Minds healed in Jesus' name. Hearts healed in Jesus' name. You have to bow your knee. You have to bow your knee. You have to bow your knee. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I even just feel right now that for some of us, that literally the mental torture that you have gone through, where the enemy has just sown thought upon thought upon thought that has just literally felt like you're in torment. I believe God wants to bring healing into your life right now. And if that is you, no one's looking. It's not about who that is. It's about you responding to heaven right now. If that's you, why don't you lift your hands to heaven? Because I want to pray literally the healing of heaven over your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, you know it's the lies that are just going like there's no tomorrow. They're coming in thick and fast. Father, over those lives right now, right now, right now. Right now, pour it out, God. 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 Truth upon truth. Precept upon precept. God, from their heads to their toes, pour out, Father. Pour out, Father. Pour out, Father. Your breakthrough, your freedom. We speak freedom over this atmosphere. We speak it. Every lie must flee. Word that is not truth must flee. It must bow its knee. God, I pray a breakthrough in the heavenlies. Things that have taken years, things that have been occurring for years, God, in a moment you can change. The suddenlies of heaven is what you are about, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Just for a moment, I want to encourage you just to receive. Just to receive. Everything that he wants to pour out. Maybe you found yourself just feeling dry. Maybe you found that you've been sitting in meetings and not experiencing from God as you used to. Just receive. Just receive. Jesus. 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 That's it. That's it. Jesus. 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 God, I thank you because we have you. We have everything we ever possibly need. Jesus. Jesus. God, I thank you. You know. You know. Yep, you know about that circumstance. Yep, you know about the situation. Yes, he knows. He knows. He knows. If you're going to pour it out to anyone, I encourage you, pour it out to him. He knows. He knows. God, I thank you that greatness is in every one of us. The destiny to make a difference in this world, to stamp you on this world with our handprints, God. There's a destiny for every one of us. And Lord, where there's been times of doubt, times perhaps where we thought maybe it's not for me, maybe my time is done, I want to tell you that is not coming from heaven. It's not. My Bible says he's planned our every day. I'm sure God doesn't write in for 3 of our years, do nothing and achieve nothing. No, that's not my God. There's times of transition for sure, but God has planned your days. And God, I declare over the atmosphere, destiny changes. Oh, nation shakers, Lord God. Father, men and women called for greatness, created for greatness, changed in the secret place, Lord God, making a difference in this world. Father, pour out your incredible love, your incredible anointing, and your incredible power this morning. This morning. And God, we just want to seal in the heavenlies what you've done. We seal it, Lord God. We seal it, Lord God. And as you've spoken to us, I pray that we would act on that straight away. Perhaps God has spoken to you to do something or something specific. Do it straight away. Share with somebody what he's spoken to. Get accountable to what God is speaking to you about. In Jesus' name, we praise you. We give you the glory. We give you the adoration. God, we thank you that without you, we truly are nothing. We truly are nothing. But with you, we're everything. With you, nothing is impossible. With you, we can scale a mountain even if it's in our ballet flats, and we can do it with strength and power. So in Jesus' name, we praise you. Why don't we just lift up one praise, like literally just a praise from heaven. Lift it up right now to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, we give you adoration. Praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. 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 Amen. You know, just as I hand back the microphone to Pastor Margaret, I want to share with you just one thought. If you want to take your seats, that's great. I had the privilege of hearing Pastor Reinhard Bonnke speak just back at Christmas. If you've heard of Pastor Reinhard Bonnke, my goodness, phenomenal man of God. We had the privilege of having him speak at our conference at Planet Shakers and then speak at our church. And one thing that he said that stuck in my mind is he said, you know, really all of us are zeros. We're nothing. We're nothing without God. And so often the enemy would kind of want to come in and remind us of that fact. But he said, but here's the truth. When you align yourself and put God number one, see, God is one. So as a zero, if I put God number one, immediately I'm a 10. If we were to join together, put two of us together with Jesus number one, my goodness, straight away we're 100. All of us in this room, if we were to all to get together with Jesus as number, my goodness. But take Jesus out of number one spot, and a zero comes back to a zero. You can have 10 zeros, there's still zero. So I'd encourage you, it's the secret place. It's that time, that's the key. Him number one, and then there is no hindrance to what we can achieve for God. Is that cool? So I hope you're blessed by that. Bless you, and I'll hand back to Pastor Margaret.